blathe.
To blathe. Which means, of course, to bluff. Welcome to this episode of Gospel Living Made Awesome. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Marriage is Ordained of God, but Who Came Up with Dating? A humorous guide to help you succeed in dating, and Giraffe Tracks, the inspirational true story of an LDS missionary in post-apartheid South Africa. Thanks for joining us today. In family history, we often talk about interviewing those who are old, getting ready to move on to the other side, and we want to hurry and get our recorders out and get some recordings of, of them before they die. But why not do it now? You know, why not get started right away? So we thought we would, and I say we because I'm joined today by my beautiful wife, Jenny. We're going to do one of these kind of interviews like you would with somebody for family history. The reason I got this idea is because my grandparents kept some tapes. They go out in the mountains together and just take a tape recorder, you know, those big lunk boom boxes, and start recording and just tell their story, tell their history and so forth together. And I loved that. I thought that was fabulous. We never had to sit down and interview them. And they got far more in by doing that than would have happened if we'd sat down with them. And so we thought that'd be fun to do. And the reason we're doing this on the podcast is to give you an idea of both some things to ask, get you thinking about your own family members. Maybe try sitting down with a tape recorder and just record yourself talking and record yourselves. You can either do as an interview or just bouncing ideas back and forth. So let's go ahead and get started. Now, Jenny, how did your parents pick your name?
The story always goes that I was named after a baby doll my mom had.
I didn't know that.
I'll have to ask my mom about that. I think that's true. At least that's the story I remember. I remember, too, that my mom wanted to name me Geneva, but my dad grew up in Orem and near the Geneva steel plant and went to Geneva Elementary. He didn't want me to be named Geneva.
Named after a steel plant. Yeah, that wouldn't go over so well. Do you remember much about you? Because you were born in Provo, weren't you? Or Orem, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Provo.
Do you remember? Not Provo. Do you remember much about Orem?
No, we didn't live there for very long after I was born. We moved to Springville really quick after.
Okay. And how long were you in Springville?
I don't remember anything about Springville.
You just remember South Salt Lake then?
Yeah, my first memories are South Salt Lake. In fact, when they moved to South Salt Lake, they lived in an apartment building and then moved into a duplex and then bought their house. And I only remember the duplex. I don't even remember the apartment building in Salt Lake.
Is that the one where you've got the picture of you with your head in the mud with your uncle?
I think that's at the house. Because in the backyard at our house, we had one area that was kind of a place where we could make it a mud pit when we wanted to. We were allowed to make a mud pit there.
So what's the story about you putting your head in the mud? Oh. Do you remember?
Oh, no, that picture with Pat. I remember the picture now. That's at the duplex.
With your Uncle Pat?
I don't remember that. I just remember seeing the picture. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it's with Uncle Pat.
Do you remember much about, obviously you remember your house that you grew up in that your parents still have now.
Yeah.
Was there anything distinctive about the house as a child that you thought was pretty cool or interesting?
Well, it was yellow. I always liked that it was yellow, bright yellow, because then when I told people where I lived, I could tell them, you just go down the street and it's the yellow house on the right. I liked saying that.
It's got that bright, sunny color and everything.
Yeah, it still does.
Now, you have three younger siblings. Corey is just a year and a half younger?
23 months.
23 months, so yeah. Almost 2 years younger. And he was kind of a rambunctious kid when he was little, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Do you have any stories about
I don't know.
Growing up with a rambunctious little brother?
I remember when I was old enough to babysit, I often ended up locking him in his bedroom.
So how would he react when he'd get locked in his bedroom?
Oh, about a lot like our kids do, screaming and yelling. See, I'm used to it. When I lock them in their bedroom, they scream and yell. It's no big deal. I'm used to that.
Now, how much younger is Sean?
Let's see. He's 3 years-ish, almost 3 years younger than Corey.
Okay, so he's like almost 5 years younger than you. Do you have any memories with him that stick out easily?
I remember we called him Eagle Eye because he could find anything.
Really?
Yeah, if we lost things, we'd ask him to help us look. And that one of our nicknames for him was Eagle Eye.
I hope our kids get that. Maybe it'll balance out my, what would you call me, slug eye or something? Or fly eye, maybe, because they can only see 3 inches in front of me.
And he was the one that kind of brought our neighbor kids into our family. There were three kids. Their grandma lived across the street from us. And the youngest one was Sean's age. And the oldest one was Corey's age. They kind of ended up being part of our family, those three. There were three boys, and we played all the time between our yard and their grandma's yard. And luckily, we lived on a pretty quiet street, so it wasn't a big deal running across the street all the time. Yeah, it was nice how the ages all worked out pretty well. You know, we were all really close to the same age, and so got along pretty well most of the time.
Now, Mindy is your youngest sister, yeah. And she was the one that you kind of became best friends with as she was starting to grow up.
My sister, yep. Yeah, especially as we were getting older, as I was in like my older teens and she was just, you know, like 12 and 13.
Get into this early.
Yeah, we got really, especially when she turned 12 and she could come do baptisms at the temple. There was a while that her and I were doing baptisms at the temple every week, and that was awesome. I loved doing that.
That's so cool.
I really enjoyed that time with her and getting to know her and the driving there and back and stuff. It was cool.
So what kinds of games did you guys play growing up?
We played outside a lot. Those silly games like Ghost in the Graveyard and Tag. And we liked to play spies. We'd carry around little notebooks. We'd go out on the corner and watch the cars go by and write down what color they were in our little spy notebooks.
Did you read Harriet the Spy growing up?
I did. I liked it.
That just reminded me of that, because I'm like, that sounds very Harriet the Spy.
Let's see. Oh, there was one time we used to have a huge, huge tree in our backyard, and it was digging into the foundation of our house, the roots were, so we had to cut it down. And for months afterwards, there was a huge pile of sawdust in our backyard, and we played on that. Constantly.
That's like better than a sandbox.
Yeah, it was not even necessarily that we were digging in it. We were just running around on it and jumping. We played Power Rangers on it. We were just really into Power Rangers at the time. It worked out because four of us and there were four Power Rangers.
You're reminding me how we are 4 years apart. At the time Power Rangers came out, I was long out of that.
I was probably a little old for it at the time, too. Okay. But since I was the oldest in my family, I got sucked into the things that my siblings were in, into.
Yeah.
And so...
Now, which Power Ranger were you?
I was always the yellow one.
Which one is that, animal-wise?
I don't remember what animal. I don't know, I just remember that the pink one, I thought she was dumb because she had a little short skirt on.
I thought they should have, like, a bunny rabbit one. You know, they're like, tiger, bear, bunny rabbit!
I don't remember what animal the pink one or the pink or I don't remember what animal any of them were. See, I really wasn't that into it. I just wanted to play with my siblings.
Now, you guys had a rule for when to come inside. What was that?
When the street lights came on. Unless we were in the backyard, we could play in the backyard longer because it was all fenced and stuff. But if we were playing out in the front yard, we had to come in when the street lights came on.
I think that's pretty cool because I don't know how it's going to be a generation or two from now, but. But all of our growing up years, the street lights would just come on automatically at the time it would start getting dark.
Yeah,
just barely
start
getting dark.
Yeah, so my mom
dark.
Didn't have to give us a time and adjust that time based on the seasons. She just when the street lights came on. So we got to stay out later in the summer and had to come in sooner in the winter.
And another thing nice about that, too, is that, you know, you're not going to... you know, if she says before it gets dark, you don't notice it's dark until it's like you can't see.
Yeah.
Because it's going, but it's a proactive thing. You're like, something appears that wasn't there a second ago. Oh, the lights are on.
Yeah.
Come in.
There were times we didn't notice them.
And I'm sure you weren't actively watching for them because you don't want to go.
You know, we didn't want to notice. Yeah.
So what was your favorite toy or toy set? Or
I liked Barbies a lot. I had Barbies. They had a cool tent, I think, that someone had made.
I think you showed me either your Barbie tent.
Yeah. It was cool because it was made of this denim-looking fabric, and you would put a stick in the middle. And the Barbies had sleeping bags, and they had a car. And they would go camping in the backyard. They'd drive around through the grass, and then they'd come to their camping spot, and they'd get out their tent and set it up. And they slept out there all night for reals.
For reals.
Let's see. I had a Cabbage Patch doll. She had red hair and green eyes, and her name was Greta.
Did the Cabbage Patch dolls, did they come with a card or something that told something about them?
Like a birth certificate.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And she had a cool little high chair thing that would hook on the table. So she would eat dinner with us at the table. She would join us for dinner, the whole family.
Cool. What were some of your chores growing up?
All I can remember right now is the chore chart, what it looks like.
The way you found out what your chores were, right?
Yeah.
Was it structured a special way, or how do you remember
it was
much about it?
Just a calendar, and my mom would write, it was a blank calendar, and my mom would write what she wanted us to do that day on the day. Okay. I think I usually had to clean my room. I don't remember. Doing dishes was one that I got a lot.
I have to laugh a little bit about the room thing, because I remember when we first met and I was coming over, you would not let me see your room. Not that I wanted to or anything, but
It was a mess.
It was a mess.
It was always a mess. And I regret that now, because I never worked
and your mom
up
would
any...
be like, you want to see her room? And you're like, no, you can't.
My mom was willing to let you see it.
Yeah.
I'm sure Mindy probably was, too.
I think she was trying to say, you should see what you're getting yourself into. That's okay. Yeah. Mine was everything and worse.
I never developed any good cleaning habits, and now my room is just as messy, or my house is just as messy as my room always was.
Did you guys get an allowance growing up? Or...
Sometimes.
Sometimes. It wasn't...
Most of the time, not.
But you got a job fairly young. Were you a saver or a spender?
I was definitely a saver.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think when I was 16, I got a credit card when I was 16. And my mom took me out to the store and told me I needed to buy something expensive with the credit card that would take a couple of months to pay off so that I would actually build some credit on it. Because if it left to my own, I probably would have paid it off every month.
Do you remember what you got?
I got a coat, and I still have it.
Oh, cool.
That gray wool coat that's purple on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little worn now.
How long did it take you to pay it off?
Oh, probably just a month or two. But later I put my...
put it off.
Later I put my tuition on the credit card, and that took a little longer to pay off.
Do you remember much about elementary school?
Uh-huh.
Did you walk to school?
Yeah.
And did you walk with friends, or did you... Was it just you and your family?
I remember... almost always either walked or there was a carpool with friends. And the first early years of elementary school, we had a carpool with our friends that lived across the street, two houses down across the street, kind of. Anyway, the girl that was older, just older than me, she was like 2 years older than me. She had the longest hair. I loved her hair. It was so cool. It was like down to her bum. It was so cool. I was so jealous of her long, long hair. But her dad, whenever it was his turn to drive us to school, he would stop in the church parking lot on the way and do donuts. That was so fun.
Cool.
Let's see, and then I remember walking in kindergarten because I had a friend that lived across the street was in my class, and so we'd walk with him and his older sister, and that was in kindergarten.
Now I
never let My kid walked to school, my kindergartner.
I walked to school when I was a kindergartner. I got lost a couple of times. I think I took like 2 hours getting home one day, and I'm sure my mom worried.
My mom had a specific route she wanted us to take to school.
That's smart, because then she knows which way to come looking for you.
Yeah, if we don't come home or if we don't show up at school. Yeah, and I think the busiest of the streets that we had to walk along the school was less busy than the other option would have been. So she wanted us to walk along the less busy street. Yeah, and when I was in the older grades, I had Corey and Sean come into elementary, too, with me. So we usually just rode with just us. And then when I was in junior high, we had a carpool again because it was just me going to the junior high anyway. Okay.
Now, I know when I met you, you were pretty much a straight-A student. And I think you said that through high school, you pretty much were a straight-A student. Mm-hmm. How did you do in elementary? Was it the same?
Yeah.
Just always straight-A?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I don't know. I don't know, because I don't think I studied any more than any other kid.
But you studied.
True. I did my homework, yeah. I loved to read. That might have had something to do with it. I absolutely love to read. In fact, your earlier question about chores, maybe the fact that I don't remember doing any chores is because I got out of them a lot by reading. I would sit in my room and read, and my mom would come and try to give me a chore, and she'd see that I was reading, and she would not give me a chore.
I think I've heard your mom mention that. You got out of chores a lot of times for... because you're reading at the time.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, she's reading. How could I think?
Yeah.
That's actually really cool.
And my favorite book for a long, 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 long time was Green Eggs and Ham. I think I probably liked that book, like, well into fourth, maybe fifth grade.
You know, I'd like to look at that book again, because I read somewhere that there's only 50 words in that entire book.
Like, or is that Hop on Pop?
Could be
Oh, no,
pop.
Green Eggs and Ham, I could see there only being 50 words in there.
Yeah, no, and
a lot
repeat.
Of the words are repeated,
I mean,
over
repeated
and
a
over.
Ton.
Yeah.
Now, in high school, and I don't know, I guess junior high as well, you did a lot of extracurricular activities. What kinds of things did
that
you do?
That even started in elementary school. I was in leadership when I was in sixth grade. I was like, I don't remember what my job was. I was in some kind of leadership thing. In sixth grade, in elementary. In junior high, I didn't do that much. I did track. That's when I first started running, was in junior high. And the track coach told me to stop drinking carbonation so that I could run a little faster. I had asthma, and so I think that was one of his suggestions to help with, you know, with running and asthma. He told me to stop drinking carbonation, and so... And so I stopped, and I've just recently taken up the kid. It used to make me sick.
When we first got married, you'd get an upset stomach any time you'd try soda.
Yeah. I wonder if pregnancy brought that ability to drink pop back or something. I don't know. But I can drink it now. Not too much, though. I drink more than, like, a cup. Then I will still get sick, but... I remember when I was a kid getting sick and my mom would give us Sprite.
Yeah. That's a good way to get a kid to drink something.
Yeah.
You know? So which was your favorite extracurricular activity?
You're talking about high school ones. That's tough. I liked a lot of them. I really did. I liked tennis a lot and can't even say why. It was just fun. I stunk at it. I was really bad, but it was fun. Probably because of my friends that also played tennis.
The whole social aspect.
Yeah, I really liked FBLA. I think I was in it for 2 years, but my senior year I was the community service chair, which I really liked doing. We organized service projects and stuff.
Oh, fun.
And I liked being on yearbook staff. That was fun. It was doing the whole graphic design thing was really cool.
Cool. And didn't you get a nosebleed or something doing basketball sometime?
I stunk at basketball too, but it was fun. I played a lot of sports and I stunk at them all.
You were one of the tall ones too.
Yeah. So I played center because I was tall. I liked playing center because for some reason with the girls, they wouldn't foul us as much. And so you could get a little brutal in there and throw elbows and stuff, and you wouldn't get fouls called on you.
Like other girls, they didn't mean to do that.
I guess. I don't know. Some funny gender thing. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, there's one practice. My sophomore year. I played basketball sophomore and junior year. And I quit because I stunk so bad my senior year.
You're like, this is just too embarrassing for how old I am. I should be better than me sophomores.
My sophomore year. So we were at practice, and the coach was trying to teach us to pass better than we were. And, and he told us a few things, and then just out of nowhere, he passed the ball to me. And I wasn't expecting it, and it hit me right in the face and gave me a nosebleed.
How did your coach react? Go clean up.
kind of was like, not too sympathetic because I should have been watching for it. Should have been ready for it. Yeah, I just went to the bathroom and cleaned up, and it stopped quick, so I came right back to practice, and I was fine.
Now, speaking of accidents, you have a really interesting story. A little bit about your testimony, how you developed your testimony, and can you just share how you developed your testimony and, maybe some things that helped you understand that you were God's child and so forth?
Well, it happened really, really gradually, my testimony. There's never been just one point that I could say that was when I gained my testimony. There are lots of different things all along that, that was when I gained my testimony of tithing and it's always looking back. And it's even that way with feeling the Spirit with me. I don't very often feel the Spirit in the moment, I recognize it in the moment. But later when I look back, I recognize that the Spirit was there and I feel it again. I recognize that it was there, and when I think about those things and those times, I feel it. But the first real time that I kind of recognized God's love for me and my worth kind of was when I was 12. That accident was I'd gone hiking with my dad and my uncle and a couple uncles and a cousin, and they hiked, my dad and brothers and uncles and stuff all hiked Timp every year, a little family tradition. Yeah. And we were going to go kind of like on a scouting trip and see how the trail was in preparation for the coming Timp hike. And I went with them. And all along we'd said we would stop when we hit snow, because we could see there was a lot of snow on the mountain still. Mm-hmm. And when we got to snow, we didn't stop because we were having fun. It was going good. And so we got to one part where there was kind of a good drop off on one end of the trail, and I slipped in the snow and went down. And my dad says it was about 100 yards, that it wasn't a sheer, vertical drop off, but it was pretty. It was pretty steep. I went head over heels all the way down, and landed at the bottom. I have a few, vague memories of like sliding and trying to stop myself on the way down, but most of the fall I don't remember much of. Mm-hmm. And then I remember when I got to the bottom, I was kind of in a sitting position, and I was looking around, and I felt fine. I felt absolutely fine. A little dazed maybe, but I felt just fine. And I saw this guy coming towards me, and this older guy, maybe he was in his 40s or something, I don't know. And I asked him who he was, and he told me he was my guardian angel, and his name was Mike. And he was a real guy. He he was an angel, but he was not an angel.
He's a mortal angel.
Yeah. And he just kind of checked, came and,
checked your vitals,
to see how I was doing. Yeah. And I was cut up pretty bad. Some other hikers, random hikers, were there too that came over. And my uncles and my cousin went back down the trail, around and down the trail. My dad came down the cliff. He didn't fall down the cliff, right. But he kind of slid his way down the cliff. The guy, Mike, was suddenly looked up behind me and told my dad to be careful. And I looked back there and it kind of freaked me out too. Dad,
Dad's coming down.
Yeah, and then they kind of got me bandaged up a little. And my uncle called. I think he called 911. Well, anyway, he got search and rescue coming, and they told him that they were gonna start hiking up the trail, but that it would take them a while because we were up near the bowl. If you know, Tim, you've been there. We were to the point where
where the little shed thing is.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Pretty close to there. Maybe like another 15 minutes before that part.
Yeah, that's as far as I've gotten up, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah, it was right. It was close to there. Yeah, so, the search and rescue, said that, it would take a while for them to get there. And I couldn't walk. So Mike offered to start carrying me piggyback down the trail. Oh. He didn't want to wait for search and rescue.
Right.
And the other guys that were there had some like fleece pants and a jacket that they let me wear. Well, he joked that they were MC Hammer pants. They were huge on me. But they helped because I was in shock and I was shivering. Yeah, Mike just carried me down, and my dad and my uncles and my cousin came along too. And they were all just talking to me away on the way down, and Mike was trying to kind of keep me awake and alert, and he was asking me a lot of questions about myself, and he just kept me talking. And then at some point we met up with the search and rescue guys, and they had a gurney thing that was a little thing they put together with one wheel on the bottom, and one guy would hold it on each end, carry it. Yeah,
like a
so they
chair
kind of yeah, they strapped me into that, and then they carried me down the rest of the way on that, and I went right asleep once they had me in that. I don't remember anything else until we got down to the trailhead and they were putting me in the car, and then we went to the hospital and I got stitched up. I had 47 stitches.
Wow.
I have two scars on my legs, and all the stitches were in my legs. I had two big scars on my legs. One of them is shaped like a T. I like that. I like my T scar.
On tympanogus.
Yeah. And the T one was it's a T because they had to cut across the top and peel some skin and muscle back to get some dirt.
So that was
rocks that were embedded.
Cut.
Yeah. Yeah, the top cross of the T was intentional cut. Yeah.
So what that must have been, I mean, how many people can say they've fallen down a mountain, What were some of your first thoughts, at least once you were aware of what was going on and when you first start coming to a stop and stuff? What are some of the thoughts that you had? I mean, were you like, holy cow, I just fell down a mountain or what?
I remember thinking that it wasn't an accident, that I was still alive, and that was the testimony building thing, was that I was, Heavenly Father needed me still on earth for some reason. It wasn't my time to go. But yeah, I think about how easy it would have been for me to die there,
Just knocked the right rock.
Yeah, the right rock hitting my head on the right rock could have, very easily killed me. And, and so that was my testimony that, not only does Heavenly Father love me, but he had a mission for me, something to do in this life that only I could do and that I needed to do. Yeah.
Very cool. I think that's so interesting.
And there are so many, that was a big one, but there are so many other things like that, you know, that I can look back on. And I think that's when I learned this. And, you know, have I ever shown you that poem that Mike wrote?
Oh, no, I want to see.
Let's see if I... a weekish after all this happened, Mike came to my house and brought me a book and, like, some balloons and candy and flowers and stuff like that. But he'd written a poem called The Girl at Timpanuki. And the whole thing was a testimony building thing for him, too.
Oh, cool.
He brought me The Secret Garden.
Oh, the book?
Uh-huh.
Oh, cool. Did he probably by then he must have had a pretty good idea. You read a lot.
Yeah, in his asking, you know, and keeping me talking. Yeah, I'm sure he. I don't remember all that we talked about. I was kind of in shock. But I'm sure at some point he got the impression I really liked to read. Yeah, so he brought me that book, and in the front cover of it, he had taped a poem he'd written. Yeah. And,
oh, cool.
And I still have it, but I worry that I'm going to lose a little paper, especially with kids around. So I typed it up, and the title that he gave it is The Girl at Timpanuki. That says, she took a little slip, and through the air her long blonde hair did fly and flop and flip. The rocks that greeted her below were jagged, sharp, and hard, but wings of angels she did ride to soften that rough mountainside. She called for Dad, and he was there to lend her loving care. So, too, were friends and family to tend her wounded knees. Upon the trail, we headed back and crossed a stream or two, and soon the search and rescuers came up the mountain track. An older brother we all have that bore our burdens well. His perfect love will show us how he wants us all to dwell. With courage like I have never seen, she didn't even cry, but kept her faith and spirits high till we all said goodbye. I made another friend today. She changed my life indeed. How thankful I have really been to a little girl named Jen.
That is really cool because it shows how one life can touch another so easily, so simply, and so well, just by an act of service and also trying to be there for each other and so forth. Which makes me think again how cool it is to do something like this. We should do this again sometime because this is a lot of fun. I've learned quite a bit. And what a great opportunity to sit down with a loved one and just talk about their life and things that they're going through. And we've only reached to high school, not even barely to high school for you in your life. But if you have any kind of recorder or a telephone that records, or you've got something, come on. I mean, you can, even an MP3 player that records, yeah. Just recording it into, and thinking, oh, but all it does is MP3s. Well, that's actually that's perfect, yeah. Because the simpler the file format, the more decodable it'll be in the future. So anyway, well, thanks again so much for joining us today. Again, I'm Chas Hathaway, author of Marriage is Ordained of God, But Who Came Up with Dating? I think we'll have Jenny join us on the podcast sometimes, co-hosting, because that's really fun. Join us again next week for another episode of Gospel Living Made Awesome. Binks McFeely here has something to say about this.